invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. The writer of the book of Chronicles showed in chapter 13 how David failed to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. But what he did, he immediately in chapter 14 showed that David was established as the king and he was God's anointed. David's reign was the ideal model to the chronicler as he's presenting his case for those that are coming out of captivity. He is setting a picture for them to follow and how they are to worship also. In chapter 15, what we see in the first 24 verses, it's all kind of new material when you look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, oftentimes, there's a lot of repetition with 1 Chronicles. But in the first 24 verses in chapter 15, what we see is the chronicler is giving something a little bit more addition to what Samuel has written over in 2 Samuel. I want you to notice in verse 1 in the Word of God in chapter 15, the Word of God states in verse 1, "And David made him houses in the city of David." What we see is David is building. He is constructing. And he doesn't just build one house because the Word of God says he built houses. And so as he is constructing houses in the city of Jerusalem, notice what the Word of God goes on to say, "And prepared a place for the Ark of God and pitched for it a tent." Now, look with me, if you would, back to chapter 13 and verse 14. "And the Ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." You remember after David failed to bring that Ark, the Ark is at the house of Obed-Edom. God's blessing the house of Obed-Edom. Look back in 2 Samuel, if you would, in chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, and look down in verse 11. And there in the Word of God we read, "And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains unto him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod." Here I want you to notice there are two different accounts here. One gives some definition or more information than the other. But what we find over in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, that as David is preparing these houses, he's building these houses for himself as far as in Jerusalem, there is in his mind, as he is thinking, to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. What we find in 2 Samuel is that it was told David that Obed-Edom, his house is being blessed because the Ark of the Covenant's there. So David is thinking through it and mulling it over in his mind. And what he does as he's thinking about that Ark and the blessing Obed-Edom's getting, he's thinking about bringing it to Jerusalem. So what he does in the meantime, he prepares a tent for the Ark there in Jerusalem, is what we find in chapter 15 and down in verse 1. Now, the tabernacle, as we read about this, the Ark and the tabernacle are two different structures, two different pieces. Where is the tabernacle at this time? I want you to take a look with me over, skip up a chapter in chapter 16 in 1 Chronicles, and notice what the Word of God says down in verse 39. In chapter 16 and verse 39, The Word of God says, "And Zadok the priest and his brethren, the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord, in the high place that was at Gibeon." So the tabernacle, it was being placed, or it was placed at Gibeon. And Zadok the priest, he was a high priest, he was ministering there at the tabernacle in Gibeon. Now, David has no pursuit for the tabernacle. He is looking to bring the Ark of the Covenant, and he's made a structure to house the Ark of the Covenant. David, what he does, he gets in the Word of God. He remembered his first failed attempt for trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. So what he does, his focus, his whole focus, is on bringing that Ark back. And the purpose of bringing that Ark back to Jerusalem was for the purpose of worship. So David goes over the Word of God. He is studying the Word of God. There's 3 months space, time period, that he is studying the law and the Ark and God's requirements in moving it. And I want you to notice what it says back in Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus, the 25th chapter, notice what it says in the Word of God in chapter 12, or chapter 25 and down in verse 12. "And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it." Now remember, David tried to move the ark by the cart. And here, so as he studies God's Word, we're reading what David read and how it was supposed to have poles in the side and through the rings, and they were supposed to carry the ark, not to place it upon a cart to move it. It was supposed to be with poles in it to be transported that way. Then notice what it says over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. Over in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, look down in verse 8. David is studying the law of God, and as he's studying the law of God, he is looking at God's way to move the ark. Instead of him doing it his way, or the majority of the people's way, he's looking at the right way to transport that ark. In chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, and down in verse 8, the Word of God says, "At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto Him, and to bless in His name unto this day." This is God's prescribed way. So David, as he is studying, he's reading, and he learns how he needs to make up for his failure in moving the ark of God. He studied the Scriptures. He understands. Now, we can have desires to worship God. We can have a passion to worship God. But if it's not tempered by the Word of God, let me tell you something, we can cause a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems today as far as places that call themselves churches that say they are worshiping God, but they're doing it with a passion and a desire. And I don't doubt their sincerity, but it's not lining up with the Word of God. And therefore, what happens, it causes a lot of chaos. Back in David's day and time, it caused death unto Uzzah. We must line up with God's Word. Don't force open the doors. Just because you think there's a certain way to do it, if it doesn't line up with God's Word, let me tell you, you better watch out. Don't force open a door. David had the consensus of all the people, but that was not God's prescribed way. Notice what the Word of God goes on to say in chapter 15. "Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites." He studied. He knows. "And for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever." That's what we just read back in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8. David had studied what we just read. Therefore, he knew the way to move the ark. It was for the Levites and for them to carry it. Now what David is doing in this passage of Scripture, it says in verse 3 that David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Lord unto His place which He had prepared for it. So he's gathered all the people again and they want to move the Ark. Now the purpose of David gathering all the people in this particular situation, what he is doing, he is uniting all the Levites and all the priests and getting them all back on the same page where they should be. He unites the Levites. And notice what the Word of God says in verse 4. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. The children of Aaron would be the priests, and there are the Levites, the ones who are to be bearing up the ark. And of the sons of Kohath, here it gives the three sons of Aaron, and then it gives their offspring, and it gives the different names. And notice it says, of the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief, and his brethren, and 120 of the sons of Merari, Asaiah, the chief, and his brethren, 220 of the sons of Gershom, Joel, the chief, and his brethren, and 130 of the sons of Elisaphan, Shephiah, the chief, and his brethren, 200 of the sons of Hebron, Eliel, the chief, and his brethren, 80 of the sons of Uziel, Aminadab the chief, and his brethren, and 112. So here are those that are the offspring of Aaron and of the Levites, which are highlighted by the chronicler. Now notice what they are supposed to do. They are to sanctify themselves. That's what we read down in verse 12. Notice what verse 12 says. And he said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Here is the first thing the Levites and the priests are to do, is to sanctify themselves, to sanctify, to set themselves apart. And so this they do. The three highlights of the three men are the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites. Those are the three main tribes that are the leaders in this. Then there are three particular from Kohath that are mentioned. In verse 8, there's Elisaphan. In verse 9, there's Hebron. And verse 10, there's Uziel. These three, there are six altogether. And these are the ones that are singled out. So in verse 11, all the way down to verse 15, what we see here in the Word of God, we're looking at how ministry should be done in the right way. When you serve the Lord, you need to serve the Lord in the right way. And it needs to be those who are serving the Lord, they need to be sanctified. They need to be set apart for the right end results. And that is to glorify the Lord God. What does it mean to sanctify? Sanctify is to sanctify someone. For me to sanctify myself, that means I need to become separated. Separated from uncleanness as far as the Old Testament was concerned. There are times there is a short abstinence. And there was washings for purification in the Old Testament for that sanctification. Notice what it says in verse 13. It says, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after the due order. Here, David is saying, he is confessing his wrong. He has done wrong. He did it the wrong way. This is very similar to what Saul did. He sought not God. But here's what David did. He consulted with everyone but God. So he's confessing it. He's confessing his wrong. The only difference between him and Saul here is that Saul did not confess his sin by not seeking the Lord. David does. Therefore, he's confessing his sins. Now remember, the chronicler is writing. He's writing mainly for those who are coming back from captivity. All this is for the purpose that they might have an example in worshiping God. Notice as the Word of God continues here, it says in verse 14, "So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with their staves thereof, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord." Now, the chronicler is jumping ahead a little bit and talking about how it was the Levites that bore up the ark. But notice he goes back right into context, and he says in verse 16, "And David spake to the chief of the Levites, to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy." David here are the Levites. They are to sanctify themselves, set themselves apart. These are the musicians. These are the ones who are ministering unto the Lord. Let me encourage you to set yourself apart unto the service of the Lord. You need to confess your sins, make things right. When you come into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, to sing praises unto the Lord. We're kind of like modern day Levites. We're singers. We need to be singers. We need to lift up our voices. This morning, I thought y'all sang good. You know why I thought y'all sang good? Because I couldn't hear myself singing. When I hear you singing, and I don't hear myself singing, that means you're singing good. In other words, we all need to be lifting up our voices with praise unto our God. Here is what the Levites did. Notice what David does. He doesn't micromanage everything. He doesn't have to have his finger in everything. It says in verse 16, he talks to the chief leaders of the Levites. He's talking about those that are in leadership positions. And he tells them to appoint. In other words, what David is doing, he's delegating authority. And he's getting the chief of the Levites to appoint the singers and the musicians. Those are going to be selected by the chief of the Levites. Now, here is the beginning of the Levitical priesthood singing ministry. Notice what it says in chapter 16 and down in verse 7. The Word of God says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." The Levites, here is the beginning of them being the leaders in song and in singing. They got a singing ministry. So notice what the chief leaders did. They appointed certain ones. And the ones they appointed, if you've read your Psalms and you've read the prescript to the Psalms, you can recognize some of these names. In verse 17, "So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren Ethan, the son of Cushiah." Here are three names that are mentioned. And these three names, you'll find them often in the Psalms. These three are the chief musicians. These are the ones that the Levites, the chief leaders, have appointed to be chief over the music, over the orchestra, over the band, whatever they're playing. They're in charge of it all. And then the Word of God goes on to say, "And with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, Jaaziel, Shemaremoth, Jehiel, Unai, Eliab, Benaiah, and Maaseiah, and Mattathiah, and Eliphelai, and Micneah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, the porters." So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. Now, notice here, it talks about the ones that are porters. And notice also down in verse 18, look at verse 23 and 24. "And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers of the ark. And then it goes in verse 24, and Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasai and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eliezer the priest did blow with trumpets before the ark of God. And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. There were certain ones that were in position as far as called gates and doors. It was at the gates and the doors that the singing actually took place. So here are ones that are positioned, they are singers, they are positioned at where the music is being performed at the gates and doors. Then what you find is you find this is all done very methodically and very orderly. You find different sections of musicians. Notice what it says in verse 19, which we just read. There were the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, and were appointed the sound with the cymbals of brass. Here is the brass section, so to speak. They are the cymbal players. That's the first section. In verse 20, you have the second section. It's the ones that play psalteries or the lyres. And it's Zechariah, Azael, Shemaramoth, and Jehiel, and Unai, and Eliab, and Maaseiah, and Benaiah with psalteries on Alamoth. Now, does anybody know what Alamoth is? That sounds like a foreign thing. It's a musical term, but in the Old Testament, if you were to look up that word, that Hebrew word, what it simply means, it means a maiden or a virgin. You can find this terminology as far as over in Psalm 46. It has it in the prescript as far as Alamoth. Now, if you think, actually in Psalm 68 and verse 25, it talks about the maidens, and it talks about that as far as Alamoth, that term. A maiden or a young virgin would be more like a soprano. So here is a musical note. You might want to make a note in your Bible on that because you're not going to remember that. But notice it goes on to say, and Mattathiah and Eliphaleh and Micaiah and Obed-Edom and Jehiel and Azaziah with the harps on Shemoneth to excel. Now here is another musical term, Shemoneth. You find this also over in the Psalms. It's found in Psalm 6 and Psalm 12. What the word Shemoneth means, it means eighth. Now, this is very possibly a lower note, you might say. So, here is the high notes. Here are the low notes. There are the lyres playing. There are the cymbals playing. And then in verse 21, there are the harps that are playing. So, you have three different sections of musicians that are performing here. And then in verse 22, here's another musical fella, and his name is Kenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Now, Kenaniah, my wife would have really liked him. He was what you would call back in those ancient days a vocal major. The word song is the same word which we would use for pitch. He had good pitch. He was skillful with his pitch. Now, we're not talking baseball, for those of you who are not musically inclined. What we're talking about here, he had what is called perfect pitch. He was called the chief of the Levites for that pitch or for carrying the singing. He was in charge over all the singing. That's how good Kenaniah was. Here, notice all these musicians, they're being gathered together, they're being organized, all the musicians are getting in place in their sections, the singers are under a director of Kenaniah, and the Levites are ready to take the ark. This is a time of worship. It's a time of celebration. So notice what the Word of God goes on to say as we look in verse 25. In verse 25, the Word of God says, "So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy." They went and they were downright happy, is what it's simply saying. They had joy in their heart and they are ready to bust loose with joy. Let me tell you, when you come to the house of the Lord, you've got burdens that you've been facing all week. You've got bad news you hear at times. You got aches, you got pains. But when you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to come with a little bit of joy in your heart. It ought to make the songs flow from your belly out to your heart, up to your lips, and it ought to bring forth great sounding praise unto our God. Here is what these people are doing. They're going up to get the Ark of the Lord, and they're going to the house of Obed-Edom. They're going with great joy, but notice how they do that. It says in verse 26, "It came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams." Notice here, these Levites, as they're lifting up this Ark with the poles, God helped them. Now, it's not that the Ark of the Covenant weighed 2 tons. God helped them spiritually, because you remember Uzzah, he got struck down. And because they were doing it the right way, God's prescribed way, God helped them. Let me tell you, when God commands us to do certain things, you in your own strength cannot do it, but He is able. He is able to enable you. If God has commanded us to go forth and share the gospel, you can't do that. I'll agree with you. But you know what? God will enable you to do that when you do, very simply, what He's commanded you to do. Notice here, as it continues on, as they're off, they took, over in 2 Samuel, it says they took 6 steps, and then they offered the bullocks, and they offered the rams. Jewish nostalgia goes back, and they say that Uzzah took 6 steps, and he was struck dead on the 6th step. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows? But here, notice what they did. They started offering sacrifices. They knew it was a serious thing as far as carrying the Ark of God. And so verse 27 says, "David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the Ark, and the singers, and Kenaniah, the master of the song with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen." Now, you get a different story about what David is doing here over in the book of 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, look over in chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and down in verse... Look in verse 14. "David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." She basically thought that he uncovered himself shamelessly, is what the Word of God goes on to say. But the chronicler does not give the story in that light. Notice what the chronicler said. "David was clothed with a robe of fine linen." Whatever he had on outward before that, he took off, and he's clothed with a fine linen, and he's also got an ephod on, which is over the breast. And so here is David. The chronicler says nothing about David dancing. A robe of fine linen is kind of like a nightshirt. It's what David had on. But if you notice what the chronicler says, all the Levites and all the singers and Kenaniah also had on the same linen ephod. So David was basically assimilating himself with the other Levites and priests with their same attire. And David was rejoicing as the Levites and the priests. Now, why was David wearing an ephod? I find this very interesting. If you think about it, David was a type of Christ. And David being a type of Christ, the Word of God says over in 2 Samuel that he offered up sacrifices. Well, you know, that was the priest's job. David was not a Levite. He was not of the tribe of Aaron, but I do believe he was after the order of Melchizedek, just like Christ was. Therefore, he offered up sacrifices. He is the type of the Messiah. He is the king. He is the priest, and it pictured Christ. Notice here, they are singing. The Word of God here in this particular passage doesn't say David was dancing, but he was praising God. Then all of Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the cornet, with the trumpets, with the cymbals. The band is playing, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And notice how the chronicler ends this chapter. He says in verse 29, "And it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul," it emphasizes she's the daughter of Saul, "is looking out a window, and she sees King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. All of Israel's rejoicing, but Michal is not rejoicing." She's got an attitude problem. She's of the lineage of Saul. She believes her dad's the rightful king, though he's passed on, and it should be his lineage. And she despised David.